at a very basic level, we're trying to figure out, can I trust this person?
Your voice matters, but you can make it matter more. Through our in-depth conversations with leaders and experts, you'll learn what it takes to move your audience with your message at home, work, and in the world. It's Compelling Communication Strategy, brought to you by your host, author, speaker, and strategist, Andrea Joy Wenberg. Welcome to Voice of Influence.
Hey, hey, it's Andrea, and welcome to the Voice of Influence podcast. You know, as someone who wants you and your organization to have a voice of influence, I know that you're someone that is also highly focused on doing the best that you can for the people that you serve. Well, I'm going to be speaking at Smart Customer Service Conference in Washington, D.C., April 29th through May 1st, 2019. If you're listening to this podcast episode before that conference and you are interested in customer service, we highly recommend that you attend. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be featuring interviews with experts who will be speaking at that conference. So each interview will feature insights related to a different aspect of customer service. You can find out more about the Smart Customer Service Conference at smartcustomerservice.com and in our show notes at voiceofinfluence.net. Well, today we have with us Chris Malone. I'm very excited to speak with Chris today. Chris is the founder and managing partner of Fidelum Partners. Previously, he held senior marketing positions at leading organizations such as Choice Hotels, Aramark, Coca-Cola, the National Basketball Association, and Procter & Gamble, and has consulted to a broad range of Fortune 500 companies. Chris is co-author of the award-winning book, The Human Brand, How We Relate to People, Products, and Companies. He is also a frequent guest and contributor to CNBC, Fox Business, Bloomberg TV, Wall Street Journal Live, Forbes, and Business Week. Chris, welcome to the Voice of Influence podcast.
Thanks very much, Andrea. Nice to talk with you today.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing now?
Sure. Our firm, Fidelum Partners, is a research-based consulting firm. And basically what we do is we conduct research and analysis to help our clients build stronger loyalty with their customers and employees and help them be more successful in their business.
And what role do you play in this business?
So I'm the founder of the firm, and I lead all of our engagements related to customer and employee loyalty. And as a result, we are having a team that is highly engaged with all their clients.
Okay, very good. And I'm really curious, when you're a contributor on these news programs, what kinds of things are they talking to you about? What are they asking you about?
Sure, they're asking you about usually topical things that are happening in the marketplace or in society and how we should interpret those from a brand loyalty standpoint, from a customer loyalty standpoint, from an employee loyalty standpoint. And so as we get into the discussion a little bit more today, I think you'll get a feel for how this human perception model called warmth and competence, which is the basis of our book, The Human Brand, a lot of the research and insight work that we do, how it influences human behavior so strongly.
How did The Human Brand come about? What kind of led you to write this book?
It started probably back in 2009. At the time, I was chief marketing officer at Choice Hotels International, and I was commuting from Philadelphia, where I lived, to DC, where our offices were there, and was there, you know, kind of from Monday morning to Friday night. And so this was one of those weeknights where I'm kind of in the office at 8 p.m. trying to clean out my inbox and kind of finally get to the bottom of the inbox. And there was an article in Harvard Business Review. And the title of the article was "Just Because I'm Nice, Don't Assume I'm Dumb." And it was by a professor at Harvard University named Amy Cuddy. And she talked about how there is this universal process through which we perceive and interact with other people called warmth and competence, and that it drives roughly 80% of all human behavior. And so I was really struck by that, found it very interesting, kind of, you know, set it aside and thought about ways that that might apply in our work. And that was what kind of set me down that path that roughly a year later, left Choice Hotels to start my own firm and pursue a path to kind of share this insight model and a different way to do business with customers and companies of all kinds.
So Chris, I really always like to ask this question, but what kind of got you interested in this? How is this personal for you? Why did you get into this particular thing?
I think there are a couple of things. One is that I have, throughout my, you know, adult life, been kind of an analytical introvert. I went to college initially for electrical engineering, ended up changing my major to business, and had so much math background that I ended up getting a degree in business statistics. So I've always been someone who was very kind of proof, evidence, data oriented in terms of what I find persuasive and how to do business. And this was a model that really for the first time allowed me to kind of validate a theory that I'd had for a long time. I'd worked, as you mentioned, at Procter & Gamble in sales, and so I got sales training there. And later I worked in professional sports at the National Basketball Association. And I'd always had kind of a belief that people were probably the first brands, faces were probably the first logos, and that all the branded trade and commerce that we engage in is probably some type of adaptation of the way that we interact with one another. Hmm. Well, this warmth and competence model was the first time I'd actually ever come across any evidence that allowed us to actually test and prove that theory. And that's what I was able to do with Dr. Susan Fisk at Princeton, and that led to our book, The Human Brand.
All right. So what exactly is The Human Brand?
Sure. So it starts with the premise that Dr. Susan Fisk and her colleague Amy Cuddy and some other professors around about 2007 developed what became published in academia and can widely recognize as the universal process through which all humans perceive, interact, and form relationships with one another. And they were studying this and developed this by looking at stereotypes and bias in different cultures all around the world. And what they were able to determine through research in over 40 countries is that there are two basic decisions that every human has to make every time we interact with another person. And this happens very quickly in our brain, and that these were programmed into us by evolution for survival purposes. And the first thing that we are making a judgment on very quickly when we interact is first, what are the intentions of the other person toward me right now? Are they a friend or a foe? Are they going to help me or going to hurt me? Are they going to give something to me or take something from me? Or said another way, what degree of warmth am I picking up about their intentions toward me? Hmm. We're using all of our senses, sight, sound, body language, tone of voice, appearance, all of that. All of our senses were picking up on this. And then given what we think their intentions might be, very quickly next, we'd have to decide, okay, what do I think is their ability to carry out those intentions? Are they strong or weak, fast or slow, foolish or intelligent? Or what degree of competence do they have? And what these researchers have been able to show is these two types of perceptions, warmth and competence, actually lead to a predictable pattern of emotions, and it's the emotions that actually cause our behavior. And they've been able to show that up to 80% of human behavior is driven by these basic perceptions that have to do how we interact with one another. So it becomes very powerful. It's very predictive of stereotypes and biases in different cultures around the world. In our work with Dr. Fisk, we were able to show that actually the way that we choose what we buy, what we become loyal to, is also driven by these same perceptions of the companies and brands we do business with.
Sure. Okay. So warmth and competence. Now, I don't want to lose everything that you just said. I want to dive into it just a little bit more, if you don't mind.
Sure.
When you're talking about the intentions of the other person and trying to perceive the intentions of the other person, are there any particular triggers that people look for or seem to be more prominent in people's minds when they're perceiving this in others?
Absolutely. So you can think of warmth as a whole category of perceptions related to intention. So it's like, I'm trying to figure out, is this person honest? Are they trustworthy? Are they acting my best interest? Are they approachable, sociable, warm? You know, all of those things and all the different ways we could perceive the intentions of another person kind of fit into that category. But at a very basic level, we're trying to figure out, can I trust this person? And are they just trying to sell me something and take advantage of me? Or are they demonstrating that they are really putting my best interest first and looking out for me? That's a lot of what we are, you know, kind of trying to pick up in those interactions.
Okay. So you said honesty, trust. Are they trustworthy? Are they approachable? Are all of these different aspects of a person or these perceptions that we're taking in, are they all sort of valued the same? Do we need the same amount of warmth for every interaction? Or what's the difference between maybe one person or one brand versus another?
It's a really, really good question. I'm glad you asked. And the short answer is that for any individual, we might have our own set of priorities around warmth, right? What we found through research with vice president level and above executives across all different job functions is that people in finance and technology, for example, have very different priorities and expectations than those in human resources and sales, for example. Those in finance and technology tend to place greater importance on competence and skill and knowledge, for example, whereas those in human resources and sales place a greater priority on warmth and trustworthiness and approachability. And so the short answer to your question is, what matters most really depends on who we're dealing with. And so it's important for us to recognize when we're dealing with other people that not everybody is necessarily wired like me, and that they may have a different type of expectations around warmth and competence. In total, it all still comes down to warmth and competence, but the combination of whether it's trustworthiness versus knowledge versus expertise or reputation or what have you could be different from person to person. What I can tell you, however, is that in the aggregate and in society and overall, and many people find this very surprising, that warmth is actually the dominant driver of our behavior. So despite that we're taught and trained that all of our success in life will come from our competence, warmth is actually more predictive of our behavior because it was more predictive of human survival and evolution.
That's interesting. Yeah, I can see how that would be the case. So when it comes to increasing or making sure that others perceive warmth in us, what kinds of things do you suggest that we make sure that we do?
Yeah, one of the kind of simple rules of thumb that we recommend that can be a good guide for you is what we call the principle of worthy intent. And that's the idea that we want to demonstrate to other people that our intentions are worthy of their trust and loyalty. And the way we do this is by trying to go into every new relationship or every interaction to kind of say that, you know what, I want to demonstrate to you that I'm willing to put your best interest before my own in the short term, because I know that if I'm able to form a relationship with you, I will benefit in the medium and long term as a result. And so the kind of the way to build trust with people is to demonstrate loyalty to them first, before we expect loyalty in return. And when we do that, it causes people to think, gosh, maybe this person really is looking out for me. Kind of this trust window opens and that they are more open to our suggestions and collaborating with us, and allows you to start to build a relationship that can be really productive.
So demonstrate loyalty before you expect loyalty.
Exactly. So for example, if you think about companies that do this, so companies, for example, that offer you free shipping both ways, a very generous return policy, buy as much as you want, you know, if there's anything you don't like, send it back for a full refund. These are ways that they are trying to demonstrate loyalty to us first to give us the comfort to try their product, that it won't be as risky. And that as a result, if they have a good experience, they will purchase more and more in return.
Sure. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. All right. So when we're talking about the principle of worthy intent and demonstrating this loyalty before we expect it from somebody else, what are some different ways that people can create that loyalty inside of their company? So you just gave us a couple of examples. Is there a way to kind of approach thinking about it?
Yeah, I think one of the ways that we recommend approach thinking about it is to think of every interaction not as an opportunity to get what we want necessarily, but perhaps a little bit more like a Johnny Appleseed, that all of our interactions are like, you know, we're trudging through life and dropping seeds everywhere we go. And that those seeds are attempts and efforts to help other people, whether it's a bit of advice or introduce them to someone or answer a question or what have you. And to each of those is a seed. Not all of those seeds will take root, but the more seeds we drop over time, the greater the probability that many of them will take root and grow into lasting relationships. Whereas some in life have kind of been taught or trained, oh, we need to be very focused, only pay attention to the people that we think can help us, and then be very focused on trying to get from them what we want for our own benefit. And usually, because we are wired by evolution to be kind of sensitive to figure out what people are up to, usually it's pretty transparent. People can figure out when you're trying to either take advantage of them or you're only interested in your own self-interest. Whereas if we demonstrate that, hey, I'm willing to do things for you with no expectation of immediate return, that really causes people to think, hey, gosh, this maybe is someone I can trust and who is looking out for my best interests. And this doesn't require us to recklessly disregard our own best interests. We're not talking about giving away the farm, but rather being willing to kind of show loyalty and trust and generosity to other people first. And what happens is we get far more back in return from places we never could have expected than if we're very, you know, stingy and selective in the way we do that.
Okay, so for competence, what are some of the different, I guess, aspects or perceptions that people take on or that they pay attention to when it comes to competence?
Sure. Competence is, again, a category of perceptions, and it's most of the things that you would expect, right? It's knowledge, it's skills, it's expertise, it's creativity, it's reliability, it's resources. It's all of those things that we might pick up, communication skills, for example. Those are all in the competence bucket. And I don't mean to suggest that competence is not important. It is important. We cannot get by in life without a certain measure of competence. The challenge, however, is that we can only get so far with competence alone. And that if you're in business, you're typically there competing with lots of other alternatives that are all reasonably competent. And it's pretty difficult to be really different from other alternatives on competence for very long, right? Things are getting copied and duplicated. and mimicked and evolved so quickly that competence can only get us so far. And that if all of the choices available are roughly equal on competence, customers default to price as the basis of choice. Why would I pay more for one versus another if they're all pretty similar? So it's really warmth that sets us apart and builds loyalty, but we've got to have that competence as well. It's about having both, not either or.
Mm. All right. So what kind of role does confidence play in both warmth and competence?
Sure. I think confidence plays a role in both, although it's not necessarily squarely in one bucket or the other. Mm-hmm. So the degree to which we are demonstrating confidence in our abilities, whether it's the way that we speak or the way that we act, is one of those things that we might pick up on in perceiving another person that gives us the impression they really know what they're talking about, right? They seem very confident. They seem very assured. They are not hesitant. That leads me to believe they're pretty competent and skilled. By the same token, if we are looking at how someone's intentions toward us and they are seeming very unsure or very inconsistent or what have you, that again is a trigger that might cause us to think, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean that they are not really serious about what they're telling me and their intentions may not be what they say? And so it's in the positive or the negative, it can have an impact on our perceptions of either.
Mm. Yeah, it seems to be one of the most important things when it comes, you know, to actually communicating warmth and communicating mm-hmm. competence. Because if we don't have that confidence, like you said, it just calls into question everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also, you know, part of it is feeling good about ourselves, right? Mm. Have the confidence to be who we really are and not to feel like we need to put on pretense or try to be something that we're not or persuade someone of something that we may or may not be completely true. Whereas if we are not trying to be someone who we're not, we can hopefully do that more confidently and in a way that is more genuine and transparent and authentic.
Oh, yeah. I love that. When it comes to expressing one's warmth or competence and how it comes out of a person, I'm sure it has to be related to who they are authentically as a person as well. So it's not going to look the same in everybody.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. The way that we each come across in that, we all have kind of our own natural mix, right? I like to say that I'm an analytical introvert and have, you know, an orientation for competence more so, you know, by nature. And what I've had to do is really be more mindful that not everybody is wired that way and really focus more on what I am saying and doing to make sure I make clear that my intentions are good towards others. And so you're exactly right. The way that comes across from each individual person is a little bit different, and the way it's perceived could be a little bit different depending on our own natural level set of things that we were born with as our natural talents.
How do you relate the human brand and this idea of warmth and competence to customer service? How does that connect?
Absolutely. And this is part of what motivated me to kind of take a turn in my career and really focus on this is what I was finding in 2009, early 2010 is an awful lot of what I was taught and trained in business, working for Fortune 500 companies, as well as going to business school. When I looked and learned about what are the real kind of drivers of trust and loyalty among humans, I realized that an awful lot of what we were taught and trained to do in business is fundamentally at odds with what it takes for people to trust one another. Mm. And so we had started to create a business environment where loyalty is actually lower than ever before, despite that we've got more data than ever before, more ways to communicate than ever before. And we've created a very transactional business environment that's driven by price, and where loyalty is really tough to build and sustain. And so from a customer service standpoint, what it requires is for us to go back and take a close look at those things that might be focused on, hey, let's get as much as we can out of every email or every website visit or every sales call.
Sure.
Squeeze out those sales, make our numbers this quarter,
right.
Get what we want. What we've done in many cases in business is sent the message to customers that we really are only interested in ourselves. And they've figured that out and say, okay, I'm going to have to be cautious about this. Nobody can really be trusted. And as a result, I'm going to be very stingy with my loyalty. And so from a customer service standpoint, it requires us to take a hard look at our policies, practices, and processes and think about what is the message that we're sending here? Are we sending the message that we're really only looking out for ourselves and we don't trust you, Mr. Customer? Or have we got policies that say, you know what, we're going to put the odds in your favor, demonstrate loyalty to you first, and recognize that have a longer term view that delivers more loyalty in the long run.
So is this the kind of thing that you're going to be discussing at the Smart Customer Service Conference?
Absolutely. We're going to talk about this warmth and competence model, how it plays out in business in the real world, share terrific examples of companies that are building lasting loyalty in the digital age. It's really even more important now. We think of the digital age as kind of turbocharged this warmth and competence model that's inside of us with digital technology, and how we can build lasting loyalty in the digital age through customer service through this lens.
Yeah, the digital piece of it is so important. So important.
Yeah, I find great comfort in one thing. Despite the fact that technology is changing around us so quickly, whether it's the mobile devices or the apps or the websites or the social networks or what have you, one thing I take great comfort in is that the basic psychology of what causes humans to feel trust and loyalty hasn't changed for thousands of years, and it's not going to change in our lifetime. The tools we use to kind of navigate that stuff will change, but warmth and competence for our lifetime is certainly going to continue to drive our behavior. And so it's a little bit of an anchor that we can hold on to guide us through it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today, Chris. Is there any one final thing that you would like to leave with the audience, some kind of words of wisdom?
I would simply say that the rule of thumb is what we call the principle of worthy intent. If we put the best interests of others ahead of our own in the short term, we'll get far more in return. And if folks are interested in learning more about warmth and competence, we've got kind of a free app available at loyaltytest.com. You can go there and compare your views of companies and brands and celebrities to those of others, as well as ask for feedback from folks about how they perceive you or your company and brand on the basis of warmth and competence as well.
And that is a really cool app. So I encourage people to go check it out. We will definitely link to everything in the show notes if you kind of missed where to go and that sort of thing. So you can find the show notes also at voiceofinfluence.net. Thank you so much for being with us today, Chris.
Pleasure to talk with you, Andrea.
We'll see you in DC.
Looking forward to it.
You've reached the conclusion of today's episode, but we encourage you to visit voiceofinfluence.net for more resources, show notes, and ways to immediately empower your voice with updated, actionable tips to build your compelling communication strategy. Again, that's voiceofinfluence.net. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to helping you make your voice matter more.
And so the kind of the way to build trust with people is to demonstrate loyalty to them first before we expect loyalty in return.